Hey, how you doing, folks? Hello there. I know you say you asked that question in this situation. Well, I hope you're doing well, despite whatever it is you're dealing with. And believe me, there's a lot to deal with. As a matter of fact, in addition to almost an innumerable number of what I call, we all call the front line, first responders, medical, police, fire personnel, hospital workers, countless other public and private caregivers, there is the great but perhaps the easily overlooked critical and frontline work of homeless shelters and rescue ministries, such as our dearly loved Central Union Mission right here in the very heart of our nation's capital, which, as many of you know, is the oldest private social service agency in Washington and has been bringing the kind of hope that it does so well for over 135 years. Joining me to talk about it, the impact of this very difficult time of dealing with this ongoing, as we call it, coronavirus pandemic, or COVID-19 if you prefer. Joe Matamano is the missions director and president and CEO, actually. And Joe, it's an honor to have you on the show, even if it's at a time like this. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Don. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, as I said, and I meant it from my heart, these are frontline folks. You folks are right in the middle of it all. Talk, if you would, about the impact of the pandemic on the homeless population in general, not just here, but I imagine around the world.
Yeah, around the world, it's impacting the homeless probably more significantly than folks understand. People who live on the street tend to already have chronic health issues such as COPD, asthma, a variety of issues. They also tend to have compromised immune systems. So the folks that we serve are at risk all year long to different types of plagues, but things like the simple flu that comes around every year can be deadly to the folks that we serve, but something like COVID-19, even more so. So we're working very hard to try to protect the folks that we serve from getting it.
Now, what's the number of homeless people in the United States now? And also, could you give us a ballpark of the number right here in our own area of D.C.?
Well, across the United States, the estimate right now is about 500,000 people are homeless. Here in the nation's capital, the number ranges somewhere between 6,500 to 7,000 people. And what's significant about that is when you look at the homelessness rate, in Washington, D.C. is about twice the national average. So that means there's an awful lot of homeless people compacted into what is a relatively small geographic area.
And these folks often are most vulnerable just trying to eat a meal every day, right?
Well, yeah, every single day they already are challenged with being homeless, not having a roof over their head, trying to find three square meals a day, health care, you name it. But you put something like this on top of it and it makes their life even more difficult.
Talk about that as against the backdrop of what a lot of us are doing. We're grateful for whatever we can afford. But while some folks are really stocking up on food and toilet paper, et cetera, how does this contrast what your folks and what these homeless people are facing?
Well, the good news is that Central Union Mission is open. Our shelter is open. We're sheltering the homeless. We're feeding folks. Our family ministry center is providing groceries to folks every single day. But obviously, something like this crisis presents all kinds of new challenges, and we've had to try to respond. We're doing all of the work that we normally do, but trying to keep something like a virus out of a homeless shelter is very difficult because once it gets in, it can blow up very quickly, and frankly, shelters across the country are seeing that. Shelters by nature typically are dormitory style. There's a lot of close contact. There's no such thing, really, as social distancing in a shelter. It's either difficult or impossible. I'd have to release half of the people in my shelter in order to create that 6 feet of distance for folks. And there's no such thing as quarantining in a shelter either. So we've worked very hard to try to prevent the virus from coming in. We were very fortunate. We got ahead of this thing late February, early March. We started doing all the standard protocols like a campaign around hand washing, sneezing into tissues, not touching your face. We've been sanitizing hand surfaces multiple times a day since the beginning of March, but then we escalated to where we actually started to check the body temperature of our guests every single day, and we're still doing that, checking for symptoms. I think we were the first in the city to actually do this as a prevention measure, and if somebody has a fever or symptoms, they're required to go out and get a health evaluation before they can come back in. In recent weeks, we took it up to the next level. We have a set bed roster now. So in other words, we're not accepting new folks in the building. That doesn't mean that they don't have anywhere else to go, but we just have a set bed list. And also, here's the important part. Just as we're all being asked around the country to stay at home, the folks at our shelter, that is home for them. So we now have a stay-at-home order in the shelter where folks have to stay on premises. They get out, they get open-air breaks every day, but we're doing everything we can to protect folks from this virus.
For this first break, Joe, talk for a moment, and we'll come back to it toward the end of this next segment as well. But what are some very practical things folks listening can do right now to help you and help alleviate the load you're carrying?
Well, we have quite a task ahead of us. So the first thing that we covet is just prayers. We believe that it's only going to be through the power of God and his blessing that we're going to get through this. The big thing is financial support. It's already been a rough couple of years financially for fundraising across the country. And right now, we believe we're going to see a lot of challenges for the rest of this year because of the condition of the stock market and the skyrocketing unemployment. We believe we're going to have a very difficult rest of the year financially. So we're absolutely seeking the help of our concerned neighbors in the D.C. area to support us financially, and then food donations as well. We've seen a drop in food donations, and that is something we very much depend on.
One more thing would be, and it may not be appropriate, may not be a workable thing, but what about volunteerism? Because I know in ordinary times, if there is such a thing for you, folks do come in and volunteer, but is that kind of a closed door for now?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking about that. Each year, we have about 7,000 hours of volunteer opportunities each year. It's a critical resource pipeline for us. We had to shut it down about a month ago because we were trying to protect our volunteers as well as trying to protect folks in the building. So we haven't been able to have volunteers come in and do work for about a month. And that means that my staff is just stretched even thinner than before. And so once this is over, we'll definitely be re-engaging volunteers. But right now, for everybody's safety, we're just not doing it.
We're going to come back with more. Joe Metamano is doing a fantastic job leading a great ministry and organization. You know them well. 135 years and counting of serving the homeless, the poor in the Washington area, Central Union Mission. And as he said, they can certainly use your prayers. Put them at the top of your prayer list financially if you can help. You can go online to do that. We'll ask him more about that in a moment. But missiondc.org is the web. And, of course, some food donations. Again, we may come back to that so he can elaborate on how you might help that way as well. But we have more. Stay with us. And we continue our conversation with Joe Metamano, president of Central Union Mission. And as we've already been describing, it's a frontline ministry that is having to deal with some of the major situations that develop that are ordinarily tough enough in themselves. But then when you have COVID-19 and all that it's created for problems, I would say probably multiplies everything exponentially. Joe, am I right?
Yeah, that's correct. It just compounds an already difficult situation for people who are already hurting.
Talk about, we already mentioned how folks can get involved. We'll come back to that in a moment. But how has this impacted your staff itself in terms of how do they stay healthy, I guess is my question.
Yeah, well, let me just say right off the bat that I have so much respect for my team. They are working heroically through all of this. While so many other people across the city get to stay at home, the vast majority of my team is coming to work every day, and whether that is at the shelter to keep the shelter going or at the Family Ministry Center distributing groceries, the team is working hard. Now, we do have some folks who have a job that will kind of allow them to work at home. So we got some folks working at home. But for the folks coming in, we are working hard to protect their health as well. Everybody who comes to our facility to work now has to wear an N95 mask. They have to wear gloves. And we're making sure that they are observing all of those same protocols while they're out of the shelter, such as social distancing and washing hands. Now, this is just as much to protect them as it is to protect folks in the shelter, because it's likely that somebody from outside the shelter, it would be more likely for them to bring it in than for one of the homeless folks in the shelter to already have it. So there's really sort of two levels of protection that are happening there. And then, of course, just keeping people encouraged and motivated motivated. I can tell you without hesitation that we are not living in fear. We are trusting in God for the outcome of this situation. The scripture that we keep reminding ourselves of, and everybody knows this, is 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gives us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. And we're living by that every single day.
That's a good word. It's a good word for your staff and for all of us. You're right, because God hasn't called us to live in fear, but he has called us to be wise and circumspect and not do foolish things. And I think that's the balance that a lot of believers want to find, not taking unnecessary risk, but on the other hand, continuing to minister in any way they can. And you've already mentioned that. I'll come back to it in a few minutes, but you mentioned at the outset that you now have had to establish a cutoff, so to speak, as to how many people you can receive or process. In addition to that, has the virus itself pushed that figure or that pressure higher than usual?
It has in some other ways. So at the shelter, you're right. We've had to go to a set bed list, and we're not able to take new folks in. We are still giving to-go meals at the shelter. If somebody needs shelter and they're not already in an assigned bed, we're working with other shelters in the city. Where we've seen a real uptick in need is at our family ministry center. Our family ministry center is essentially a food pantry and a clothing store for folks who are living under the poverty line. Normally, we serve about 4,000 people a month there. We've seen an uptick of at least 25% in what we call emergency referrals. These are folks who are not typically coming to get food, but what we're learning is because of all of the layoffs and the increase in unemployment, there are folks who now need food assistance, and they're coming to us, and we're helping them by providing groceries on a weekly basis. So that was one of the unforeseen things that we didn't know that was necessarily coming. It's happening at a time when we're stretched because we have seen fewer food donations coming from the grocery stores and Costco because they're selling out quickly. So, but we're fortunate in that God has blessed us with a lot of donors of food, and we're able to at least provide some to everybody.
Well, on that last point, I'm sure some folks may be saying, well, what can we do in that regard? Is a cash donation? I would think cash donations or monetary donations are best because it leaves you elbow room to use it as you need it. But for others who say, look, we may have even some extra non-perishable items in our homes that we could pack together and bring in, would that be any sort of help? Or if so, they probably should clear it with you first?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I mean, cash donations give us the most flexibility to do what we need to have done. But if somebody does want to donate food, we certainly are still willing to take that and still needs it. We are asking folks to bring that to our family ministry center on Bladensburg Road. All of that information is on the website, missiondc.org. And food absolutely is still helpful during this time.
What else would you like to share? We have a couple of minutes remaining. Joe, I want to give you this chance to really pour your heart into the hearts of our people. As you know, this listening audience is one of the most generous in the world, and they want to be part of it.
Yeah, well, I think the last point I'd like to make is just it's a spiritual one. You know, it's very difficult times for all of us. And I think this is stretching us as believers in Christ in some new and unprecedented ways. At the shelter, it's been interesting to watch the reaction of the folks who we serve. These are folks who have nothing, and while they are concerned about, you know, making sure they don't get the virus, they're not living in fear. And it just once again demonstrates that principle: when you have less, you worry less. I've seen this all around the world. People who are living in poverty have the strongest faith of anybody I've ever met. And I think there's something to be learned by that, about how we, as followers of Christ, put our faith in God and not in the material things in our lives. And so being able to see the folks that we serve who are downtrodden be able to live by that faith has certainly been encouraging. And again, back to that 2 Timothy scripture, not living by faith, but showing the world that we believe in an awesome and powerful God, and our testimony of calmness through this storm is going to be a great witness to everybody who sees how the body of Christ is reacting.
And how has this affected those who are themselves with you as part of your program, but they have family members outside who ordinarily would try to connect with them on a regular basis? What is that? What has that done?
Some folks do. Some folks have family that they try to connect with, and they're still able to do that by telephone, and we're making sure that folks still have those channels to be able to communicate with folks. Internally, we have psychological services and social workers internally that have been doing a lot of talking with the guys around keeping calm, around not having anxiety. So we're making sure that we're addressing those things, and we're making sure that we're giving people enrichment activities as well. We have Bible studies every day. There are all kinds of self-improvement classes and job training classes that we have internally. So we're actually giving guys a great opportunity to grow themselves during this period where they're sort of shut in the building. And I think most folks just appreciate the fact that we're taking such good care of them and taking advantage of these opportunities.
I know you've depended, we've talked about it already, for years on volunteerism. That part has been shut off right now for the time being, hopefully not too far into the future, but for now. But again, going back to the financial needs, because I wanted to mention, I know there are churches that have written you into their budgets, but perhaps there are very few in that regard compared to the numbers of churches in the D.C. and DMV area. Might that not be a way in which some of the churches could reach out to you right now?
They could indeed. The thing that's a little bit different about Central Union Mission, well, there's a number of ways. I mean, one is that, you know, we don't hide our Jesus. We are very, very faithforward about our Christian identity. But the other thing that's connected to that is we are 100% privately funded. We receive no money from the government whatsoever. So we do rely on partnerships with churches and individuals, corporations, and foundations. And churches have a lot of ways that they can be supportive of us, whether it's through cash donations, volunteering, food donations, but also once this thing is over, we look for disciplers to come from churches to work with the men. One of our goals is the homeless guys that we're working with is to help them get off of the street permanently. We address their addictions, any psychological or emotional issues that they have. We provide job training, but their walk with Christ is the core of all of that, and we want to make sure that we have disciplers to walk with these guys once we move them down the continuum into independence.
Final last moment, what are two or three things you would like everybody listening to pray about and pray for regarding your ministry?
Oh, I would say number one is just praying that we are able to keep this virus out of our facilities and away from the folks that we serve. We have put up a big defense to try to do that, but we need the power of God and the Holy Spirit to keep that virus out of our realm. And the second thing is just praying that we have enough resources to get through this, to get through the rest of the year strong, and also just prayers that there's so much good that can come out of this, spiritual growth and development within the folks that we serve. So those are really the main prayer requests, along with keeping my staff safe and healthy as well.
And you as well, my friend. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me on, and keep safe.
Amen. And we are going to do that. We're going to pray for you, and we're encourage others to do the same. Joe Metamano, President and CEO of Central Union Mission. If you want to find out more about them or find out ways you can help that are still available to you during this pandemic time, go to missiondc.org. You can make your donations there as well, missiondc.org.